I invite you to open the Pew Bible at Psalm 121. You'll find it on page 622 of the Pew Bible. Over these weeks of the summer, in inverted commas, we've been looking at some of the Psalms, and we come now to this Psalm, Psalm 121. It's one of a group of Psalms that are simply called the Psalms of Ascent. They are the Psalms which pilgrims would have sung and recited as they walked on, they made their way up to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. And they're full of reminders of who God is, full of reminders of why these folks were going to worship. Not just to tick a box to say they'd been there. They were going because of who God is and because of what he has done for them. And so the Psalms of Ascent are this wonderful, uplifting little group of psalms, people going to worship. And they help us to look at these things. Folks, as they went to Jerusalem, would have made their way through lots of hills. They would have been walking through little twisty pathways, dusty roads, making their way maybe from close, maybe from very far away. But it was almost the duty of every Jewish man to try and be at the festivals in the temple. You remember the story of Jesus, his parents taking him when he was a little boy to go up to the temple. And they walk in that crowd, and they leave in that crowd, and the crowd's so great that Jesus isn't noticed. They don't notice he's not there until they discover a few days later, and they go back, and there he is in the temple again. It was just part of what worshiping God was about, making this pilgrimage up to the hills in Jerusalem and worshiping God at the temple. And the hills themselves were all around them, and perhaps as they walk through the hills, maybe like you and I do, we look at them and there are phrases that go through my head when I walk in the hills. Things like, as old as the hills. They've always been there. There's a sense of permanence. There's a sense of strength. There's also something about the peace and calm of hills that have always been there. And so at the end of a bad day or a bad week, you might say, I'm ready for the hills. Because it's a place where you go just to shower your head. There is something about the hills that we just find comfort and peace in them. But they're also slightly scary places. You remember the story Jesus told about a man walking through those hills from Jerusalem to Jericho, who ended up being mugged and left for dead. They're not terribly safe places either. So as well as being these inspiring places, they're also a bit worrying. Who's hiding around that hill? What sort of an animal might be lurking somewhere just waiting to attack me? The hills. And so as these pilgrims make their way through the hills, one or maybe a group of those pilgrims will lift their voice and say, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? And then a voice would echo back, and the echo might be the same person. It might be another group of pilgrims who would say, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And it's this little reminder that, you know the way you think the hills are permanent? You know the way you think they're a great source of comfort and peace and solace? How much more so is the God who made them? We're not going up to Jerusalem to worship the hills. We're going up to Jerusalem to worship our Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. And if we find comfort in the permanence of these hills, how much more so do we find comfort in the eternal God, the one who is unchanging, unfailing in his love for us. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my strength come from? My strength comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And the pilgrims would have sung that as they went. It's a great reminder for us as we move through life. We look at different things and we think, you know, that's where my security is. That's where my help is. My bank balance, and my health, my reputation, my status in the community, whatever it may be, 101 different things, and we look at them and we say, I look at these things, and that's where my help is. That's where my strength is. That's where my security is. And this wonderful psalm of ascent says, hang on a minute. It's not on those things. It's not on the hills. It's not on all the other things that you think are important. Your help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It's a great reminder as we gather to worship to set aside those things that we think are important and focus on the God who is important. But sometimes you can be so focused on heaven that you're no earthly use. You know the old phrase? So heavenly minded that you're no earthly use. These pilgrims would have been walking through the hills like Snoopy. Maybe they'd learned the secret that looking up is the secret of life. Looking beyond the hills to God, but they also had their feet on the ground. They also walked on paths that, well, they weren't good, nice, flat, level, easy to walk on paths. They were rocky, they were rough, they were stony, they were pitted, they were traveled, there were channels worn across by flash floods. They were not easy to walk on. They were sort of rocky, stony places. And so it's easy to be looking up and then trip. I remember a number of years ago walking with an American friend around Castle Whelan and around the forest and the lake in Castle Whelan. And Bob had spent so much time looking at his feet that he didn't actually see the castle, he didn't see the hill, he didn't see the trees because he was so worried about tripping up and slipping. And he missed it. These folks could have been so caught up in their pathway that they missed what was going on around them. And so they're simply told, he will not let your foot slip. Yes, you're walking on difficult times. The path that you walk on may be stony, may make you stumble, but he will not let your foot slip. Again, it's a lesson to us. There are times when we stumble through life. When the path that we're on, we would love it to be nice and flat and level and tarmacked. When Heather and I were in Scotland just a few weeks ago, we thoroughly enjoyed cycling on an old railway line that was made into a cycle path, which was brilliant. And it went for miles and miles. Lovely tarmac, fairly flat and level, great to cycle on. But every so often, they hadn't quite got around to doing that, and you were back on this rocky, rough path, which wasn't just so much fun. We would love life to be like that cycle path. But the reality that you and I know is that's not the case. There are times when the path of life is more like this rocky, stony place. And as these folks head to worship, they remember, this is the God who even looks after my feet. He will not let my feet slip. He knows that this walk is difficult. He knows that I will stumble. But he will not let my foot slip. The God who doesn't want us to be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly use. The God who knows what we walk in and walk through and how difficult and treacherous it can be at times. And the God who promises, I will not let your foot slip. This is the God whom we worship. You may remember the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. He challenges the prophets of Baal to basically a bonfire competition. Who will have the biggest bonfire? Who will have the best bonfire? And the prophets of Baal go first. They build their bonfire. They spend time dancing around the bonfire. They call upon Baal to light the bonfire, and nothing happens. They get into a frenzy. They cut themselves. They do everything possible to try and get Baal to light this bonfire. And old Elijah, I think, must have had some Ulster Scots blood in him. He just winds them up. He just loves winding people up. And he says to them, maybe he's asleep. Maybe Baal's sleeping. Shout louder. Maybe he's gone for a comfort break. Shout louder. Get him back. Maybe your God's asleep. But Baal never turns up. These folks walking up to the worship in Jerusalem would have known that story of Elijah and how God had lit the bonfire in big style. Was not asleep. While we're sleeping on our way to Jerusalem, while we're resting, does God rest? Is there a time when God takes his eyes off us? Is there a time when he stops looking after us? And this psalm simply comes back and says, no, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He's not going to lie back in a deck chair and take a few hours out. He's watching you. He knows what you go through. There will never be a time when God takes his eyes off you because he's preoccupied or because he's tired. The maker of heaven and earth, who will not let your foot slip, never sleeps nor slumbers. This is the God whom we worship. There are times when we think, where is God? There are difficult times. Things that happen to us, that happen to loved ones, that happen to friends, that happen around us, and we think, where was God in that? Was God asleep? And the Bible comes back and makes it very clear that the one who watches over us never slumbers nor sleeps. He's watching over us. He's working out his purposes. That's where our help is. That's where our strength is. This God who will not let our foot slip. This God who never takes time out for a nap. This God who loves us with a love that will never let us go. Now, the next bit may not make sense to us. The sun will not harm you by day. Well, it hasn't had much chance recently. Came across this wonderful little picture. You can't read it. Somebody says, lost, last seen middle of May. If found, please return to Northern Ireland. That's the way it feels, although this might put this on. Of course, the sun comes out this morning, but there you are. The people, as they walked up to Jerusalem, would have known the stories from the time in slavery in Egypt, where those who had enslaved them worshipped the sun and the moon. These were the big things in their lives, the sun and the moon. So we worship them. The psalmist here reminds the people going up to Jerusalem, we don't worship the sun and the moon. They're important, they're good, they're beautiful. We worship the God who made them, the God who put them in place, the God who makes sure they're in the right place moment by moment. And so here's the promise. The sun will not harm you by day. The sun doesn't have the last word, God does. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. God is the one who keeps and protects us. Not the sun, not the moon, but the one who created them and put them there, the one who will sustain them and keep them for as long as it is his will. This is the God whom we worship, the God in whom we find our help, the God who will not let our foot slip, the God who doesn't take a nap, the God who is greater than the sun or the moon. This is the God whom we worship. This is the God who looks after us, who looks over us. There's a lovely picture of a lighthouse which is there to guide and protect night and day, to keep people away from danger, to guide, protect, to direct. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. This is the God. This is the God whom we worship. So we get back to the question that I put up on the screen right at the beginning, which is simply, where is your strength? Where is your strength? And we understandably put our hope and our trust and our strength in different things and different people, and we expect them to be God for us. We expect our bank balance to be able to watch over us, to stop our feet from slipping. We expect people around us, we maybe expect our husbands and wives, our family to be what only God can be for us. Where is your strength? Where is your hope? As these folks are traveling up to Jerusalem, they remember the greatness of their God. And that is so important. Because unless God is truly great, He will never be able to protect you. He will never be strong enough. Sometimes you hear people say things like, I have an intellectual faith. And often what it means is, I have decided what God looks like. I have decided what God is like. I have decided what God will do. I have decided how God will act. I have decided. And the danger there is that we make a God of our own creation, a God who will never be able to stop our foot from slipping, a God who will never be able to protect us day and night, a God who will often take a nap because He's of our creation. A God who has become far too small. A God who will never certainly challenge us because we make Him in our own minds. This is why it's important to go back to Scripture and begin to build a true picture of God. This is why it's important to spend time with the risen Christ, because in Him we see our Heavenly Father. This is why it's important for the Holy Spirit to work in us as we worship. Because by Him, we see the true and living God. We build this true picture of God. The God who offers us everything. The God who offers us salvation in Jesus Christ. Such a God protects us. Such a God provides for us. Such a God offers us salvation in Jesus. Such a God reaches out to us in grace and pulls us to Himself. This is the God whom we worship. Again, there's no promise of an easy life. Sometimes people have given the impression that if you come to Jesus, if you give your life to Jesus, then everything's fine after that, if only. If someone says to you, come to Jesus and life will be easy, you have two questions to ask. One is, what's your experience of life? And two is, the second one is, how well do you know your Bible? Because our experience of life teaches us that coming to Jesus isn't the end of difficulties and problems. Our understanding of the Scripture is that life isn't without its problems. But here's the promise. As we walk through these hills in this life, as we walk on this rocky, stony, unstable path, God is with us in Jesus Christ. And that's what makes the difference. That's what makes the difference. It's amazing. Talking to people in very difficult circumstances. People who sit at the bedside of a loved one and just watch and wait, wonder. And they speak of a strength that is not their own. People who have lost a loved one and who in many ways expect their lives to go to pieces, they talk about a strength that lifts them and holds them. This is our God. This is our God. As the psalmist says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For You are with me. at that bedside, at the table where there's an empty chair. This is the God who's with us. The God who knows us, the God who loves us, the God who will never let us go. The God who is the maker of heaven and earth around us. The God who will not let your foot slip. The God who watches over you night and day. The God who never takes a sleep. The God who will keep you from all harm, watching over your coming and going. Not for just a moment, but from now until evermore. This is the God who calls us to come and to know him and to love him and to worship him through faith in Jesus Christ. Where's your strength? Is it in something or someone that will just fade away? Or is it in the eternal arms of our Heavenly Father? Let's pray together. Lord, you know the different strategies we have in our heads and hearts for getting through life. And forgive us, Lord. Forgive us that you offer us Jesus and we look the other way. Forgive us, Lord, that you call us to trust in you. You give us that unending grace and we depend upon ourselves. Lord, in these days, work in our hearts and our minds by your Holy Spirit, that not only may we know your greatness, but we may surrender to your great love. And this we ask in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.